Hey, what's up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome to the season premiere of TNT's new drama, The Animal Kingdom. We're going to be breaking down the pilot episode in episode 2 tonight. There's a lot to talk about. A lot went down, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. Such an appropriate song.
Very I love appropriate.
It. So good. Great choice. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm your host, Alina Vision. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Alina Vision. I'm so stoked to have these two lovely co-hosts with me. Why don't you guys introduce yourself?
Hey, guys. Leslie Ambrose here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time.
What's up, everybody? My name is Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. This is really exciting. I get to work with both of you.
Yay!
We just worked a premiere, and we haven't worked a show together in forever, so
forever.
This is so exciting.
Yes, I am so excited, especially
reunion.
About the show, yeah. About you guys, and we actually do have a fourth. She couldn't be here with us today, but she'll be back, hopefully, next week. And, yeah, so let's get kind of into it. Before we really dive into the show, since this is a new show, I kind of want to get your guys' first impressions, just okay. Right off the bat. How do you feel about it so far?
I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh. Thank you that network television is pushing the limit and going all the way. Because, I mean, they've had to compare, or not compare, but like compete with Netflix and Hulu and all these things. So I loved it. I love intense dramas like this. So I mean, it's definitely going to be a show that not only do I have to watch for work, but also out of enjoyment.
I'm like a big fan. Ellen Barkin's an old favorite of mine, and I was really excited to see that she landed the title role in this. It's really cool to see such a popular indie drama get the adaptation like this, and I really think that they cast this very, very well. And there's something about living in California and this being sort of like the same. They
right.
really capture the Oceanside thing well, which I think is very cool. So I'm really excited for this show. I didn't even think I was going to want to do another panel, you know, like because I'm taking a little break. I just finished two shows, but I watched the pilot and I was like, I just really wanted to get into it. I just want to talk about the show.
Same. I remember asking you at the premiere. I was like, yeah. Do you know if there's an after show? Because I definitely want to join it. Yeah,
totally. Both were like, yeah, let's get on the show.
Awesome. We're so glad you guys are on it. And yeah, you guys were at the premiere. So how did that go?
Oh, it was so much fun. Yeah. I mean, just being surrounded by, because like I've done like little ones before, but actually being on something where there's actors at such a large scale and being able to talk to them not only about like superficial questions, but actually getting deep into it.
Right.
I loved it.
They really, really promoted this show. Like they spent so much money on this show because honestly, I mean, I saw ads for it everywhere. It was playing in front of Civil War, like a whole 5-minute piece in movie theaters was playing, sides of buses, billboards. They've been advertising the show like crazy. And then, you know, we saw at the premiere, like they rented out a bar, and like a screening room. They threw the whole thing right there in Venice. So it was just right on the beach. And then they turned the entire parking lot behind it into a set. So you walked in and like, there's the scene from the opener where the smash and grab.
Right.
So they basically built out the jewelry robbery. It's like a robbed jewelry store is what you walk into.
I wish
into.
We had like very We should have cool. brought pictures to show. But
next
it was
time.
Intense.
For
yeah.
sure. Next
they had
time.
Like fake glass on the ground and people could take like photos in front of it.
There was a half pipe. There was people skating. They brought sand in and built a beach. It was crazy.
Yeah, they went all out then. For sure.
And it was fun too because like the whole cast was super, super approachable and nice. We hung out with most of them, talked to most of them. We were able to, I think, hopefully book some of them to come on here and hang out with us. So it was great. But let's talk about the episode.
Yeah,
excited.
For sure. And if you guys want to see their interviews, you can check out AfterBuzz.com or AfterBuzz YouTube page, and you can see the interviews.
Yeah, it's all on a little playlist.
Premiere.
You can watch them all at one time.
There you go. All right, well, let's get into the show, the pilot episode. We got to talk about this opening.
Yeah.
Opening scene is amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Amazing. I think that was probably my favorite scene of the whole pilot episode.
Right.
It set up kind of the world that Josh comes from.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. At the same time, it's very, like, human. Like, how he's just sitting there while his mom is either A, unconscious or dead or whatever, watching, what's that game? The Whammy game?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I remember watching that when I was younger, but I think it was something like that. And even the police just kind of look at him like, you're just watching TV.
Yeah, he seems to be so desensitized.
Right.
But one of the things I love about this so much is that, you know, you see the premier network shows now, like, you know, AMC does this a lot, is they give you this really slow, weird, kind of awkward build. Like, I'm doing Preacher right now, and I love, love the comic book Preacher. And I was very excited to get into the show because the comic book starts action, right into it. But they've decided to give this very long, drawn-out build-up. What I really appreciated about this show was it starts you immediately in the situation. Does not give you the build-up. Does not try to introduce you to his world before she's gone. Mm-hmm. Literally, you get the new world he's going to be in like 6 minutes into the episode, which I thought was so cool. And you knew, obviously, when you know he goes downstairs and the guy hassles him, it's your mom up there, you knew that was going to come back.
Right.
Of course it was.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to get the payoff. And you knew exactly what the payoff was going to be.
Right.
I personally thought the payoff was actually going to be like one of the other guys roughing the guy up. But it's good that he did
it. He did it, yeah.
I thought he was going to go all the way and just boom, bam, done, you out of here.
He's hardcore that quick.
I feel like with Finn, he's, I mean, just how you guys were saying, like, he's so desensitized and he's independent. I mean, even the fact that he goes back to doing his, like, math homework and, like, makes himself dinner after finding out that his mom has just died, just completely numb to it all.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially what you were saying with the buildup, we're going to see, we've seen a little bit of it, but we're going to see more of, like, a huge breaking point for him where I think he's going to maybe, like, lash out on the family a little. Jumping into predictions again. I have a bad habit of doing that, but
it could. I mean, it could happen. I think it also lends itself to his family because his family was so desensitized by, you know, their one of his daughters, Smurf's daughter, and their sister dying. Like, it was just...
It was no big deal,
which is so bizarre and crazy. At least, you know, it's so unnormal, I would say, no matter what.
She just, like, stole her shirt and then throws a pool party, and it was like, oh, you're not going to, like, even cry about it for a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Well, before we get too far into that, we are then introduced to Smurf, who is not your average grandma.
Oh, no.
No. Girlfriend's got it going on.
You know that Ellen Barkin is 60?
No, she's not. Fantastic.
She looks fantastic.
I bet, like, 50s or something, but not still.
Like, good for her. I'm all about women, you know, keeping it grown and sexy at all ages.
She looks fantastic.
Yeah. She's the badass grandma that you would be scared of but would still want.
So the moment when she starts, it's funny. She rifles through the drawer looking for the shirt, and you're like, what's she looking for? Right, because she's so comfortable around it. She finds the shirt, which later then comes into the episode, and I guess my question was she just stealing a shirt? No. She was clearly stealing it for a reason. She was trying to set something up, right?
Right.
Because you get the payoff of that moment. Mm-hmm. So I like that they set that up right away. You can tell she's like a cat, you know what I mean? It's like she's looking
comparison.
For something.
Uh-huh.
She felt very feral in that moment, you know? It's like when she went to work.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. That's another thing I really like about this show is they put these little seeds in. And you don't know exactly what they are or where they're going to come back, but you get a payoff eventually.
It's all super subtle.
Exactly.
And if you're not paying attention to every detail, it'll go completely
over your head. Uh-huh. And that was one of the things. So we see later on where that comes back. And then after Josh goes with her, we end up meeting the Kobe boys.
Yeah.
All of them. So what did you guys think when they rolled up to the house and we meet the boys?
They're so handsome.
Especially that. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, am I going to sound superficial by saying this?
No,
I was like, oh, damn.
Not at all, girl.
We got some eye candy. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
That, I think, when I watched the pilot, that kind of hooked me. I was like, I'm totally in for the panel if it's going to be that.
You're like, oh, we can bring them into interview?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, guys get eye candy all the time.
They do. They have, we'll see her in the second episode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that, I think it's funny that they decided to cast it that way because, obviously, some networks like CW, you know that everybody's going to be super good looking. That's just kind of, it's just a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the more sort of like the bigger dramatic cable networks, like I said, AMC, and then also now like the Hulu stuff and the Netflix stuff, it really does seem like networks are making an effort to kind of make these shows feel like they're a bit more in the real world. They're more believable kind of. So the thought that these guys wouldn't all be super, super handsome, you could have done it that way. But at the same time, as somebody who lives in Southern California and kind of knows San Diego, there's a very sort of like beachy, these guys get away with whatever they want vibe of these guys. And it actually makes sense that they would all be this like posse of handsome guys. Because we do find out later, right? They're not actually brothers.
Most of them are, except for Barry. We find out later that
he's
not.
Craig and Darren are separate dads, but still Smurf's kids.
Because I guess the scene with Baz when she's having that conversation, that started to lead me to believe, I wonder, have they confirmed these are absolutely her kids? Like, that was what I was trying to figure out.
Their last names are Cody.
Well, except for right. Baz. Except if you look Baz, on like right. the IMDb page, he's yeah. the only one with but the separate.
That could have been
one.
That could have been adoption. It could have been any number of things. Could have been
right.
Because the thing is, here's my question: Ellen Barkin looks at all these guys in this very like. I want to sleep with you, yeah. and maybe I have slept with you kind uh-huh. of way. You so, don't really know. It's super weird.
It's so
I
weird.
Mean, they're a twisted family, so I feel like even if they are her sons, she's definitely slept with them.
Well, but that's the thing. So you have to ask yourself a question. They might not be her sons. It could just be a convoluted situation. But anyway, the point is, mm-hmm. if in fact they aren't her sons, then her handpicking them as handsome guys would make a lot more sense. It would make way more sense right. that she would be able to kind of pick up on this okay. and grab these particular types of guys.
So do you think it's just like Pope who's her son then and not...
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. unless we totally... If anybody's watching or listening and wants to share that with us, I mean, let us know.
Yeah,
because
definitely. I got that Twitter feed open right here, everyone.
yeah,
share it away, please.
I am curious. I am curious in case we did miss something, but like... I'm sure that'll be more revealed as we go. So.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about how weird it is with Smurf and all the guys. I mean, it's kind of incestuous.
Oh, it's very incestuous.
I mean, if those are her kids, it is very, very weird and mm-hmm. kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she sees them naked. The guys walk around her naked. And it ain't no thing.
Did you like, what did you guys think about the Ben Robinson scene when he comes out and he's screaming and yelling and he's naked and he gets up with the girls and it's just like running around? Didn't he tell you that was the first scene that he filmed?
Yeah, the first scene that he filmed with them was that really? Exact scene. That's like when he met Ellen and everybody. They were just like, okay, take your clothes off. Yeah. Yell at Hello. Everyone. Let's go. Uh-huh.
Like, I thought that was like really interesting. And all right, so stuff like that, like a scene like that, you know, mm-hmm. handsome guy walking around naked. It's very like provocative, right? You're supposed to pay attention. Right. But that's also the sort of thing that you've seen on any number of shows on any number of networks. Fox shows like the OC would do something like that. So you just kind of wonder, like, what's the end game for this show? I get the sense that this is going to get really dark and twisted. I think that they're right. trying to sell it with the sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing a little
right,
bit.
To get people hooked.
Yeah, but I really think that it's mm-hmm. just going to keep getting, like, more and more effed up.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's so many, like, subplots, even once we jump into the second episode, mm-hmm. that are just, you can see everything spiraling out of control right. from then on.
There's so many layers uh-huh. to the show, and I think, I agree with you completely, I think it's going to get darker and a lot grittier.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it seems like they're just digging themselves into more and more of a hole that they're going to have to dig themselves out of.
Yeah, and they're careless, not to, like, jump to a different topic, but, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little mm-hmm. bit, but there's everything that they do, I feel like they build themselves up as these high-class criminals, and then you see them in this action, and it's like, dude, you left DNA there, you screwed up here, you told somebody where you were going here. I don't even know how they've gotten so far, to be honest.
Right. Well, I'm sure we're going to see them have to clean up and how they do it. So.
Yeah, exactly. So after all the kitchen scene that we were just talking about, they go surfing. And this is the first time, like, we see them out. They're supposed to be surfers. And this is actually the first time we see them stealing something. Because we actually see them stealing the surfboards from the guys that they're kind of being pricks to in the ocean. What did you guys think about that whole scene? Especially, I think it was Craig that gave Josh the gun.
Yeah.
Well, for me, my favorite movie of all time is the original Point Break from 1991. So I love that movie to death. And this show feels so much like Point Break meets Sons of Anarchy. That's like the tagline people have talked about. Uh-huh. I've heard a lot of people say this.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. And there's a scene in Point Break, obviously, where if you guys have seen it or anybody listening has seen it, where he's out on the water and he runs into like the criminal gang of like four surfers and they try to beat him up. And there's like a whole scuffle by the shower. It's like very, very similar. It totally reminded me of it. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing that came to mind. The weird thing for me, though, is that Jay holds the gun up. Like, he's like so unaffected by this stuff. He's like stayed away from that family his whole life. And his mom's been a tweaker. So obviously he's been around sketchy stuff. Mm-hmm. But he didn't seem to be freaked out or weirded out at all by it. He just points a gun at the guy.
Right.
Like his hands aren't even shaking. Just nothing. Like, boom, let's go.
Doesn't really. I mean, he kind of thinks twice, but then it's like, oh,
I honestly
okay.
thought he was going to pull the trigger just out of peer pressure. Like, maybe not shoot the guy, but maybe just pull it and be completely surprised at what went on.
Right.
That was my initial reaction. But
initial reaction.
I kind of saw that point as building up his character description and him. It's kind of the turning point for Josh, I think.
Right, and I think it gave him some credibility with his brothers because he was lacking in it there, you know,
definitely,
before.
Yeah. Right. They've been picking on him since he got there.
They weren't quite sure whether he could be trusted or whether he could really be part of their little situation that they got going on. So after surfing, we see the first pool party of many. And, I mean, Josh once again has to prove himself by jumping off of the roof. Now, would you guys do that?
No. No. Way. I'm the person that would watch and be like, yeah, do it. But you put me on that roof. I'm like, no, thank you. I will crawl down and climb into the pool myself.
Right. I think this is the first, I mean, not the first time, but we definitely see that they don't have that many good ideas.
Yeah.
No. Dropping off of a roof.
They're all idiots. They really are.
Yeah.
Even the smart ones are stupid. Yeah.
It's true. That is like one thing that seems to be, well, except it seems like Pope's the smartest. It seems like Pope's the most intelligent of all of them, in a weird way. He's also seems crazy, but he does seem to kind of be the smartest.
He's
that is
a sociopsychopath.
He's so creepy.
But the thing that's super interesting is that you got, like, you talk about that. Like, it's very difficult to find characters relatable that are not intelligent. They're good for comic relief, but it's not easy to find characters that are relatable that seem really clumsy and stupid and, you know. Even criminals, like anti-heroes classically on television and in film, you have to like them. You have to want to root for them. So I don't know how dumb these guys really are, or if it's like you're getting their sensibilities, but they're going to come through and they're like sort of stronger moments. Currently, they all just seem like clumsy morons who are super handsome.
Right.
And like, you know, ordered around by
That's fine with me. Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's interesting. What do you guys just generally think, though, of Finn Cole, of Jay? Like, as an actor, how do you like him? Like, are you fans? What do you think?
I think he's doing a really good job with the role, definitely. I think it's believable. I believe where he's coming from.
Yeah.
I really do like him as an actor. I think it's a perfect cast for the part.
I think the kid's a star. I think he's doing a great job. He doesn't have a lot of credits. For the record, I asked him what he thought of the rumor that he was going to replace Zayn in One Direction. And he said that he would love to.
He was so excited. He was like, wait, there's a rumor?
He like didn't even flinch. He was like, I think that's a great idea. Like,
One Direction? He's very well PR trained, or that was just an awesome answer.
He's good. He's very charming.
Charming. And he's even on, what's that show with Cillian Murphy? Peaky Blinders?
Oh, yeah, Peaky Blinders. Uh-huh. Yep.
So I feel like he gets a lot of practice in the drama and intense roles through
that. Yeah, right.
And he saw, I remember when I was watching, I kept thinking of Heath Ledger. And I don't know if it was just the jawline, but even just the way that he presents himself on screen, I could totally see him just pursuing so many different roles in the future. He's definitely, like how you guys are saying, he's going to make
star.
It big. Yeah,
he's a star. Right. The funny correlation there, right, is that the film that this is based on is Australian. Heath's Australian, but he's actually from the UK. But then he looks kind of like Heath, so you're like, oh, he's Australian, so he's just
like
Heath Ledger.
He looks Australian. Yeah,
right, he does. Uh-huh. Or something about it.
Exactly.
But he's not, so I think that's funny.
Maybe his, like, mom or dad, he's, like, mixed or something.
Yeah, who knows?
There's some Heath in there somewhere. So what do you guys think about the whole them grabbing and snatching the homeless guys for the DNA? At first, didn't know what was going on. And then once it was revealed to us, once again, we get a little seed revealed, I was like, that is actually pretty smart.
Yeah, that part, I was like, this whole time, I'm thinking it's smart, and then once everything goes downhill, I was like, oh my god, I see everywhere that you messed up
now. Exactly, exactly. Especially when Smurf is like, did you guys wear masks for the homeless?
Right.
Oh, right.
Oh, no. Oh, dang it, I didn't think about that. But I think even how Pope calls them all out, and he's like, if I would have been there, like, nothing would happen. I think that's true, actually. Now, backtracking on what I said earlier, I think Pope is the reason that they've gotten so far. Because Baz, like, he's trying to be the leader, he's trying to get all these things together, but he doesn't have the skills to be detail-oriented to follow through with these crimes.
I mean, Baz, though, or Pope, to be totally fair, pulls the move when they're still in the car, not wearing a mask, beats the guy with the flashlight, shows him his face.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Also puts Jay in the situation. Like, that didn't seem like he was doing anything even remotely
carefully.
But
I think that was on purpose, to get Jay kind of roughed up.
To scare Jay a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. Exactly. And what did you guys think about the whole funeral scene? Super awkward.
Super awkward, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here their sister or mother or daughter has died, and nobody can say a word. Nobody's saying anything nice. Kind of awkward. And then there was that lady who was the next door neighbor who kind of spoke up. And that's when we learned that she was actually, Julia, Josh's mom, was actually trying to protect Josh from the family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's so that's definitely an interesting plot point. Mm-hmm. And it, you start to think about where he comes from and why he is the way he is, and that opening scene, how calm he is. And, right. And talking about sort of like living life, even if his mom wasn't a criminal, if he's living his life with somebody who's an addict to the point that they can actually OD like that, you know that he's seen a lot and he's been around her in a lot of tough situations. So that's probably why this world and sort of moving into this world is not as tough of a transition. But it is interesting that his mom was like, even though I'm a heroin addict, I'm trying to keep you out of that world that is somehow worse than my heroin addiction.
Right, right? Exactly.
They're, like, they're doing something that's really bad. I'm just addicted to smack. It's, like, kind of weird.
Right, yeah.
Like, there's no pro in this situation at all. But even when the neighbors spoke up, it made me think, well, why did Josh contact his grandma right away if he clearly had other neighbors and contacts that cared for him?
Yeah, also...
I don't know if you guys picked up on that, but I was...
No, I didn't. The other thing I was going to say, though, is also the relationship between the crime family and his mom being a heroin addict is... I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if she was getting drugs from the family.
Oh, right. Oh. Right. Yeah. Or she probably got started on that. Because, exactly. I mean,
They're
doing
crazy.
Lines, yeah. They're doing everything.
Just chilling in the living room. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Oxycontin. I mean, yeah. They don't really discriminate when it comes to drugs.
No, not
as
at
we've
all.
Seen.
I think it'll be interesting for us to predict which of the brothers dies first in the scope of the show. Because I don't know if one of them dies at the end of the season, but I think, like... That's definitely, like, a big moment, is one of these guys has to die.
Right.
You know? Change
the
math.
I know, I'm sad.
I like them
She's
all.
She's like, no, keep them.
Not even just for, like, looks, but, like, character-wise. Like, they're stupid and everything, but they all have, like, little layers that I think see soon that I'd be really sad. Now, I get attached to characters easily, too.
I see.
So.
I see you do.
Now, do you think that it took Josh kind of a little bit longer to catch on to exactly what they do?
I think he had an idea.
Yeah, I think
mom has told him
something
in the past.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's right. That's where I think it is. I think the mom for sure. That's in some ways probably why he probably was like, okay, this is my rich grandma. They're really well off. You know, I'm sure he'd probably seen the place before. You know, like, or at least maybe been when he was along. Because what did he say? It's been 10 years since he's seen her.
Even what's his name? Darren was like, oh, the last time I saw you, you were hanging out around. What was it? No, not Darren. The grandma said.
She says that he used to, like, ride
time.
By my handlebars
or something
like that, right?
There we go.
Yeah,
I can speak English.
So there's this part of him that probably remembers seeing, you know, they had, like, a really cool place and a sweet pool or something like that. And, and he was just probably kind of like, okay, maybe my best bet is, like, I got a roof over my head and, you know, some money that it'll be a little easier or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe there was a part of him that always was curious and his mom wouldn't let him. That's another thing we could think about, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because that's the thing is I asked Finn about this and I was like, so what's the transition? How much darker is this character going to get, right? And he said, this is a question I've answered a lot. And he was sort of like, he's still right now, the beginning, he's really getting his surroundings. He's trying to just get a feel for, like, what does this feel like, you know, being around this stuff, like, does it feel right or does it feel wrong? And I think the question is, we're going to see very quickly, if it feels right, he could get very dark very fast.
Right.
Very dark very fast. And that's what I think these first few episodes is going to be about. Like, it's going to be about, like, does when he has to be involved in that first job, but beyond just, you know, stealing a car, when it's like, he's the guy that has to shoot someone.
See, I think he is going to get dark pretty quick, because when he was trying to beat up the drug dealer, I mean, he pulled a gun on him. You can tell that he's getting desensitized from all these things, because, I mean, within a short course of what seems like a week, if not less.
Probably less.
He's gone through a lot, and he's definitely toughened up a lot. And so I could see the character definitely getting dark real quick.
Mm-hmm. You don't really see him mourn at all. You might. No. I think we see in the second episode a little bit of anxiety, if anything, but... Other than that, it seems like his whole life he's just pushing and pushing things down.
Yeah.
And this is finally giving him the outlet to act out in such a negative way.
Right. Yeah. Well, along the way, we meet his girlfriend, Nikki.
Yeah.
Oh, she's crazy.
All right, tell us how you really feel about her.
She's just, I mean, she's crazy, but she's also very, your stereotypical rich girl, doesn't want to be rich, wants to be rough and tough, and wishes her life was gritty. So she's going to go date the guy whose mom was a heroin addict, going to go hang out with his crazy grandma and his uncles and try to, like, woo them over and catch shrimp in her mouth, because that's cool. Yeah. Also, she takes $200. She didn't even try to fight it.
No.
Like, it was like, okay. She was like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, I would have been like, oh, no. Like, sure. No, she just takes it.
I have the saddest prediction for her, but I'll save it.
Okay. Saving it for predictions. Yeah. I I thought it was interesting to see him have a girlfriend and see that there was parts where I thought he was going to open up more to her and we get kind of more of a backstory or really get delve into like what he's thinking. And unfortunately, we didn't get too much of that. Hopefully in the next couple of episodes, that'll come out a little bit more because it'll be nice to be a little bit inside of his head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can kind of tell what he's thinking, but it'd be nice to really understand. And I feel that Nikki would be the one that would be able to bring that out of him.
I think it's also interesting, something to bring up is that, like, so did they make reference to his dad? I don't think they ever do, right?
Just when he makes that call at the end and that's it.
With the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a certain amount of, I think there's a certain amount of his relationship to those uncles that's going to be, like, he didn't have a father figure or there wasn't a male in his life. And he's probably going to take to that, he's probably going to take to that male attention pretty well, which I think is going to draw him in pretty fast. It seems like it's kind of happening already.
Exactly. Yeah. I can definitely see that happening. So, yeah, we get to the point where he actually goes back home because he's just like, I can't take this life anymore. It just kind of gets too much for him. He's not used to it. And he goes back home to where him and his mom lived and he finds a picture of him, his mom, and supposedly his dad.
Supposedly.
Right. And he calls the number, and somebody answers, a male answers, but does not really care to talk to him.
Yeah.
So do you think that that's kind of, like, finished there, that he's not going to go try to find his dad at any point in time?
I think he will. I think he's definitely going to go on the search for him.
It'll be, I think it'll be something that they'll use it later in the show. It'll come back in later. But I don't think, like, it'll be, his dad doesn't, I don't think his dad sounds like a very good dude.
Probably just some random guy her mom slept with ended up pregnant.
Some situation where his dad will come back in later and, you know, get killed or roughed up by the brothers or, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
I hope it's not that predictable. I hope it's actually interesting.
Hopefully. let's hope it is.
Let's hope. All right, now let's talk about their heist.
Yeah.
They finally go on a heist. We've been hearing about it all episode long.
So many opinions.
And so much goes wrong. So much goes wrong. They are able to get the watches from the jewelry store, but on the way out, they are kind of stopped by cops. Not security guards. There's actual cops on the escape route. And it goes down. They end up actually killing one of them.
Cop dies.
Yeah, bad news.
Robson takes a bullet through the shoulder.
Good idea. Exactly.
Just everything goes.
So we see it down. The plot kind of crumbling. And how did you guys feel about that scene?
I mean, I'm going back to the reckless, careless thing. Mm-hmm. They could have gone about this a smarter way. I'm not a criminal, but I feel like if I was,
I would have
mapped out the place, like figure out a way to like be the man inside.
Darren did.
Supposedly. But they just crashed the car, leave it there, which I guess was the smart part of their plan because they had the tweakers and all that. And then just bust through the watches and everything. Yeah, they have gloves on and helmets, but who's to say, like, a piece of your hair doesn't, like, come off, you know, or something goes
wrong. Sweat drops.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They didn't think about any of these, like, teeny little details. Like, forensics are crazy. They can find anything.
Right.
And that's just me watching too many crime shows now, but I mean, it was great for TV, but if it would have been, like, something to be a little more realistic, I thought it was too much.
Right.
I mean, you always hear the statistic. People who resort to crime, like, the probability is that the statistics show that, like, people who resort to crime are usually very unintelligent people. It's very stupid people, usually.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, that's what every book will tell you that. The thing is, Smurf is not stupid.
No.
So that's, I think, why it's gone as well as it's gone for as long as it has. As far as the robbery goes, I mean, it's well executed. I like how the show's shot. Like, I'm definitely a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. Feels good to watch. It's well edited. I don't think that he didn't. I don't think Darren did a terrible job. I think he probably did a fine job. I think it just so happened that there were cops there. Like, I think he, you know, you scout the route. He probably scouted the route a bunch of times. There were no cops. Then there were cops that time. What are you going to do?
Just got unlucky.
It happens.
Yeah. Should have thought of a backup plan.
Yeah. I mean, the cops are on to them. We see the cops, roll past their house at one point.
Yeah.
And then also there was that scene with Barry when he was in the, I think it was like a 7-Eleven.
The detective. Uh-huh.
Right, and the detective actually comes up. I thought that was a pretty interesting scene.
Well, there's definitely
something there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It suggests Go ahead.
It suggests either that the cops, like, for years, the cops have, like, known what's going on, mm-hmm. but, like, can't touch them for some reason, or that he's actually an informant.
Exactly.
Yeah, which I think that's what it felt like they were suggesting.
That's what it felt mm-hmm. like.
Because it's very buddy-buddy.
And there it was, I think the cop said, you know, nice night, and Barry just said, yeah. That seemed kind of code for something.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's going down tonight. Because it was right before the heist.
Right. Mm-hmm. Either that or, you know, he's got a cop on the inside. That's the
and
other
that's
thing.
His guy, yeah.
Yeah, because he's not a brother, so.
Yeah.
Could
maybe.
Be.
Yeah, maybe he's got
to be. Oh, this is going to be Baz's turning point. Dun, dun, he turns everyone in.
How do you guys like Scott Speedmore? You think he's doing a good job? He's kind of like, I said to Pope, Sean Hattissey, I was like, it's interesting, you know, your character gets to be the creepy one, the sort of weird one. You kind of get to be the, like, you get to be sort of like the Emmy performance. And it's like, you know, it's different than a guy like Speedman, who's really given that sort of just classic, just square-jawed, handsome male lead role. It's like, the depth of that character, it's not as much asked of that character. It has nothing to do with the performance. It's just like one is written very complex and the other one is written, mm-hmm. you know, a little more obviously. Uh-huh. Speedman's doing fine for me. I can't find him on Twitter. If he has a Twitter...
I don't think he is.
Well, there's somebody... There's a Scott Speedman on Twitter, and it says... He has 2,000 followers, and it says... Does anyone care I have a Twitter? Question mark. That's his only tweet. From years ago. He tweeted years ago and said that. So maybe
Scott. I mean, he is older, so maybe he's just like not about the social media thing.
I thought it was funny.
I feel that he would have a Twitter.
Yeah. Every other one of the cast members, every single one, has an active Twitter.
Now he'll jump on it now that he's doing this show.
Scott, we need you on Twitter.
And beyond even that, they're all active, like, to the point they think they know, like, it's our responsibility to, like, be involved in the show. I mean, most of them followed me back, most of them retweeted me. Like, and I've never before I'd met them, because they're like, if there's somebody who is tweeting about our show, we should get involved.
Right. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
He's like the male lead of the show. I guess Finn's really the male lead, but I thought that was really interesting.
I'm sure he'll get on. Yeah. He has a million fans.
We'll start a campaign.
Scott Speedman, they're like, oh my God.
Was he on Felicity? Was that his show? He was on Felicity, right?
Yeah. That was his thing. That's the one that every time, I remember watching interviews before we did the premiere just to prep and seeing everyone would ask him, like, so is there going to be a Felicity reunion? Like, that was the main.
Because people love Felicity so much.
He's the hot guy, you know.
All right, so I think that pretty much wraps up the first episode. Anything else you guys want to add to that? Before we jump into episode two.
Well, there is one super, super relevant thing that happens in the pilot that I think we should reference.
Absolutely.
And that's the scene where Pope picks up the girl, his girlfriend, from the couch. And, like,
I wrote that. Smells her
pretty much.
And, like, so creepy.
Lays her down.
Finn
on the
does
bed.
Nothing about it.
Did she not wake up?
Yeah, totally.
That's what I was thinking.
So when I asked Hattissey, I was like, you're doing some creepy stuff, man. You're doing some really creepy. And he was like, dude, if you even knew. He was like, the thing I had to film yesterday, he was like, made me so uncomfortable. He was like, you can't even imagine how weird it gets.
Oh, no.
So it's going to get even creepier.
Some bad stuff to look forward to.
Oh, God. I might have to watch, like, through my hands.
It's so awkward to watch. It's, like, so awkward, but so good of a character.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, he kills it. He does amazing.
Completely kills it. But, yes, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I forgot about
since
that.
Since I forgot too. About that. So, yeah, let's go into episode two. Starts off, of course, with a pool party.
Yep.
Yeah.
They love their pools.
They do. It just seems like they live the life of leisure after heists completely.
They live the San Diego life. They live the everything's chill, everything's surfing, everything's
just go
cool.
Surf
I mean, no.
And hang and drink.
No, right. no shade to San Diego folk, because, like, you know, it's not like everybody in San Diego just, like, parties all day, but that's, like, the stigma that's attached to it.
No, right? I know a few people that live in San Diego. That's a big stereotype that's super true.
Yeah.
So, what did you guys think about when Smurf and Nikki were in the kitchen and Smurf asked Nikki a really awkward question?
Yeah.
Like, if you could have any of them, you know, not Josh, who would you have?
I was surprised by her answer.
Baz, right?
Yeah. I thought she was going to pick Darren.
I thought she was going to pick Craig.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some reason.
God, I'm on a panel of all girls.
I think Craig is the best or whatever, but I just, from the scene in the restaurant where he was throwing shrimp and stuff.
Wait, Darren. Sorry, I mixed up their names.
Oh, Craig.
Yeah, I definitely thought it would be Craig.
It felt like there was a little something there.
Well, Darren for sure would not be the one, it turns out.
No. We find out something else about Darren.
What'd you guys think about that? I'm just jumping ahead.
No, that's fine. Let's go there.
Like, so, okay. This is one of those. So what the scene we're referencing is when Darren is in a public bathroom with a dude.
At the beach,
Something happening that he seems to be into. It looks like
he's very into it, apparently.
Pants are down.
Uh-huh. We don't see the guy.
Right.
In fact,
We see the shoes of the guy.
We just don't see
it. Do we ever see that it's a guy? We don't ever actually see that it's a guy. It's just inferred.
I think we can tell.
The flip-flops, kind of. And the fact that he was beating the guy up.
He was like, this dude.
Exactly. I don't think he beat up a girl who was doing what.
Yeah, he would have been like, oh, man, join me or something. Yeah,
right. So that's weird. Like, it's not weird, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more just like, there's those moments when you're like, are you going to give me like this sort of plot point that is super relevant and interesting, or are you going to give me something that's like controversial and sexy? And this is another one of those ones where I was like, it's kind of like, that's kind of feels like this is, he's going to have this secret. And like, I don't know. I wasn't sure how I felt about it. It's interesting because it's a secret that he has to keep.
Right.
But it's also like, does it feel that consistent that he would have been in the family for this long and been able to hide this and like, you think so?
I think so. Okay. I think he could hide it, because, I mean, they're so testosterone-driven in the family that I think he would be able to hide that. And he knows, you know, that's a pretty big secret to him. Now he doesn't even, I mean, he has to trust Josh to keep that secret.
Yeah.
Which he, like, almost threatens his life.
Yeah, exactly. Super, super scary.
This family will turn on each other in any instant, and that's the one thing I like about the show. That's what keeps you, like, engaged. Right. Like,
and I feel like they all have their own secrets in some way. I mean, Darren has the fact that I guess he could be possibly gay.
Yeah.
It
or
seems
bicurious.
Gender is fluid.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Just be everywhere.
It's whatevs. And then I feel like Pope has the whole secret with Catherine.
Right.
That they slept together at one point.
Yeah,
ooh, that is a big one. He is holding
Lena's,
over her head.
Lena's Baz's kid or Pope's kid?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It's like some oceanside sadistic soap opera shit.
Yeah.
Turning into like a novella.
Everything into one. With that creepy little clown doll.
Oh. What did you guys think about that?
The creepy clown.
It was so creepy, but I feel like that's another seed that they're planting that we're going to
There's like a camera
out.
In the clown or something. There's something sketchy about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. They're definitely, I mean, they're setting up so much drama. They're just right? They're planting a seed after seed after seed. I mean, you talk about each person, so that's his secret.
Mm-hmm.
Then Craig seems to have a severe drug problem.
Yes.
Which I don't even know if it's a secret, but.
No. I think it's a secret to how extreme it is, but not a secret.
Right, because I don't think they know that he's popping Oxycontin like Tic Tacs, you know?
Yeah.
Which he kind of is
doing.
Are you
real? Like, behind the car, he's just like, oh, hold on, man. And then you see another scene, he's got like a handful more that he just throws in. I was like, oh my God.
I think too much.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you guys. So the scene where we see him with the drug there with Christina, like, that's like full-scale nudity. TNT. I didn't know you could do that. I mean, I felt like I was totally surprised. I was like, is this because it's a screener link that we get to watch this and it's like this? Or is this actually just on TV?
I think that's actually
on TV.
Which is something that you'd expect from like an HBO or Showtime or something like that.
Yeah,
but
even
on
the
network, definitely not. Mm-hmm. So they are definitely pushing the envelope.
I didn't know
to the extreme. Yeah, even some of the tweets while I was going through while watching the show were like, wait, am I watching HBO After Dark or what's going on?
Yeah, totally.
I get that.
She told us that her family can't watch the show.
No.
She's like, Papa, you're not watching this.
Your parents are so excited. They're like, I'm going to tune in. You're like, please don't. Maybe another scene where I'll just send you clips. She'll like send them clips of her scenes.
When she's dressed.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool that she's like had, I mean, as well as that she's his drug dealer, but like, she kind of like had like a control like roll over him, like, you know what I mean? It didn't. Mm-hmm. He's like this big dude, and he's very male, very like testosterone
very
driven,
very
alpha. Mm-hmm. And he seemed, I didn't get the sense that she was his girlfriend really. I got the sense that she was his drug dealer, but he seemed to have like total.
It was a total 180.
He's totally submissive. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
All the women
too.
On this show are very. They're boss, you know? They got it.
They are, definitely. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to let any of these guys take advantage
of
them.
They're the queen
bees. Exactly. There's a
better way. Smurf. Ooh, she's a queen bee. And she actually, you know, once all of this goes down, they find out that there's a cop that's dead. She tells Josh, you know, you're in this now. Like, you're a part of this now. And we keep secrets.
She threatened him while she was inviting him into the family. Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't know. Do you think Josh is happy about being part of it, or do you think he's just kind of?
I think he's happy he finally belongs somewhere, but he knows like the heavy consequences that are coming his way.
I mean, I think the best example of Josh and the way he feels about everything is it's the moment between when he's made to take that seventh or eighth shot in the pool party, him kind of wandering to his room, falling asleep, puking, waking up, and then like. seamlessly like changing and her watching him change. The whole like that whole sequence is like, if either one of you guys has ever been to like, I don't know, if you ever been to like a Sunday Funday or day drinking or something, and you find yourself in a situation that you're just like, you don't know a lot of the people, you feel very out of it, maybe you have too much drink, and you kind of have that moment of like, what am I doing here? Where am I? I feel so disoriented. Uh-huh. That's kind of, I thought that like little sequence was kind of exactly how he feels about the entire experience. From the moment that he walked in the door to where he is now, he's just been kind of like floating through it all, very disoriented, just kind of going with the flow.
Trying to fit in.
No identity, has no idea who he is right now. Right. That's kind of what I think it is, you know?
No, I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that. Let's see, where do we go from next? So right then, when she tells Josh, you know, you're part of this now, they have a little family meeting, and that's when she goes through, what have you guys done? Have you covered our tracks? Mm-hmm. And turns out they have not disabled the car where they were supposed to, and now we go to the junkyard. Where
they just blow it up, no big.
you can't
tell anything from that.
Because the cops aren't going to see a big fire. Somebody's not going to see it. That's another just part that I'm like, somebody's going to see what you're doing, and eventually it's going to get back to you.
It's all coming back to them.
Sloppy work.
So sloppy. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Smurf made you go destroy the car. Okay, destroy it properly, or you're going to end up in freaking
jail.
Look
at you. You could be the boss.
Sorry. I should just run this show. Let me go talk to the writers. Let me help them out there.
Because I love it.
I promise I'm not a criminal, everyone. I know I sound super sketchy right now.
So then Craig, though, we see how messed up his shoulder is, right?
It's gross.
So bad. And like, oh my goodness! And then like how that ends up with the tube and Mexico.
I close my eyes during that.
Yeah. So I mean, when he's trying to drain his own wound.
Yeah.
Oh, disgusting. Tons of pus coming out. Turns out, you know, they need to take him to Mexico.
They should have taken him to Mexico in the first place.
So, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Look at her.
Please, sorry. There's so many times that I was just like, why? I love it, but why?
Exactly. So they take him to Mexico, go through a dirty bar upstairs, and it turns out Barry's got a girl in Mexico.
He's got his side piece.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You guys got the sense that mattered? That was a girl that was like his girl, or it was just like a girl, just a girl?
I think it was a girl, like his girl.
A girl that, like his
Somehow
girl, when
they
he goes to Mexico
other.
And he has to unwind because his life is crazy, he goes and hangs out with her.
His side piece, for sure.
Because she just came up to him like, no big deal.
Yeah. And she was like caressing his face.
I mean, you got the sense they knew each other, but I also didn't know how well, or because his whole relationship also to his wife seems also very strange, right?
Right.
Like, he listens to her at the pool party in the first episode when she's like, don't sit down, let it go.
Right.
I can't quite tell like where he stands. He might just be a womanizer.
I think he's a womanizer.
I think he's just a womanizer.
I think maybe
he might love her a little
womanizers.
Bit, but
yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to let that overshadow his fun.
Yeah.
Right. So what did you guys think about Smurf crushing up the pills for Pope and not telling him?
I thought that was smart.
Right.
Yeah.
So clearly he has some sort of mental issue, which would, I guess, explain his character development.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see where that goes.
I want to see some flashbacks of Pope like growing up and what his relationship was like with Smurf and even with Julia and seeing that, just them growing up and kind of seeing maybe they'll do like a mini episode of just seeing how he kind of spiraled out of control.
Exactly. Because we got a little bit of a kind of flashback with Smurf when she was stealing the drugs for him. So we can tell that all of this kind of comes from her mom.
Yeah.
She's kind of brought up this way. But it would be nice to see a little bit more backstory on the characters and exactly how they got this way. And
I would really like to see. I mean, I'm always a big fan of the flashback, flash forward episodes. It's something like Lost really coined, and actually, Fear the Walking Dead had a great episode they did this year doing that. But I always really like those backstory episodes. So it'd be cool to actually see. It would be cool to see the experience with each one of the kids,
right?
If it was just Baz or like just sort of like where all their big character turning points in their kids that they kind of reference, because I think it'll kind of give us a better understanding of who's who. So I hope they go in that direction.
Yeah, right. Even like intertwining it within an episode, I think would be great.
Right. I mean, we do get a little bit of backstory. Well, not backstory, but we find out that Josh is actually a good student. I mean, I think we kind of knew
Straight
that from
is.
The right
like his creepy teacher. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She kind of had the hots.
I was making sure that I like wasn't just like just picking up on that.
No, she picked up on it too. Definitely super like, oh, call me Alexa. No,
outside of class.
No.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, weird. I picked up on that. But I thought it was nice to see that, besides, I think we got that from the first scene when he was doing the math after his mom died. Okay, clearly he's good all suit. About going yeah. to school. And we hear him say it over and over again, like, I got to get to class. And they're like, oh, let's go surfing.
Yeah.
Let's do this instead. And he's pretty, you know, studious. So no matter what upbringing he had, he's definitely all about keeping it.
So are we going to, like, open next week's episode with maybe with, like, Hot for Teacher by Van Halen?
You know, there you go. Oh, there you go. Just like, playlist. Yeah. We're taking requests right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they have to actually destroy all the watches that...
Breaks Baz's heart.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
But not really it. All of them.
But exactly. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are taken because... Josh has already given Nikki one of the watches.
And Smurf is apparently up in her storage unit.
Yes, stashing.
Keeping some stashes over exactly. there that nobody, I don't think anyone else knows about that
stash. So what
stash.
Do you guys think she's doing with that whole storage unit? Do you think it's an insurance plan kind of for herself?
Oh, yeah.
I think a couple things. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, let's hear
what's
it.
What's the other one?
Insurance plan is one part of mm-hmm. it. Get herself out by putting it on someone else is the other part of it. So okay. she's got hot watches that have, you know, people know got mm-hmm. stolen. There's a dead cop attached. That's the kind of thing where she can plant one of those somewhere, get someone else in trouble. So I think both of those are things.
Oh, I like that.
That's the evidence.
I like
that. And she's obviously the mastermind behind it. I mean, she is a total mastermind, because her moment when she goes and she does the broken heel and the like steals the pills from the therapist.
She was a natural mm-hmm. at it. She didn't even think twice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yep.
Yep. I was surprised that guy just let her into his house.
Like, I know. Oh, okay. He's like, wait, who are you? Uh-huh. Okay, come on in.
She's smoking, you know? She's very attractive.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's true. She is.
I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. Is there anything else you guys can think of?
I mean, no.
We didn't cover? There was a lot.
The only thing that I would say is, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, was... Going back to the pilot episode, is how we see the game show on TV. And I feel like we're constantly seeing a game show in the background of everything.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of trailing down Finn's, his downward spiral. Mm. Because he has, you see the game show in what episode was it? What scene was it? The first scene. And then you see it again with Pope when he's finally starting to get into the family. So I think we're going to see a lot more, like, little hints towards that game show in the background.
The whammy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the only thing we're not talking about all the way is the sort of, like, Pope and Jay and, like, where they're at. Because, like, there's definitely, like, he doesn't really trust him. Also, and the other thing was Jay lying for Pope to Smurf. That was the other thing.
Right.
That was big. And then Baz says to him, always come to me first.
Right.
And he did the right thing. So I think that's really interesting, the way he's kind of starting to play the uncles against each other.
Right.
And you wonder kind of who...
Finn might be the mastermind. Yeah, Jay, not Finn. I keep calling him Finn.
Yeah. You just wonder, like, where's his, like, allegiance going to end up?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be with Smurf? Is it going to be with Baz? In a lot of ways, Baz does feel like he's the best of them.
Right.
He's a womanizer, but as far as killing people and having drug problems go... He doesn't seem like he's... Then again, we don't know.
He's the most redeemable one. But then even I asked Speedman at the premiere if like he thought he was most redeemable. And he was like, nah, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. We might see Baz kind of also get a little rogue and crazier than now.
I just think he doesn't give off the most bad vibes. Like, the other ones definitely do. So if I was Josh, I would definitely...
Lean towards him.
He seems... the most stable one, if that's even.
Mm-hmm. I could see Josh even just honestly in the end of it all, just him and Smurf.
Yeah.
Driving down the sun through the sunset Smurf. Or something while the other guys are all rotting in jail.
How old do you think Smurf's character is supposed to be?
Oh,
maybe
I don't know.
50s?
Right? Probably. I mean, if you try to do the math on it, so she's his grandma.
Right.
But his mom looked like she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe.
And the guys are probably supposed to be, what, in their 30s, 20s, 30s?
I would say 30s.
Yeah, 30s for the most part. I kind of get the feeling that Darren's the youngest.
Yeah.
And Craig, it looks like he's maybe like 31, 32. Speedman looks like he's maybe like late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. And I guess Jay is supposed to be like 17, 18 kind of thing.
Didn't he say like 15 years ago, though, when he called his dad?
Okay, really?
That's what I was confused, because I remember he's like, oh, I haven't spoken to him in 15. Oh, I guess he would have seen his dad growing up.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's in high school.
So probably 17.
High school.
Yeah.
I'd say 17, 18.
He's right in that, the OC, Friday Night Lights. You don't know, he could be a freshman or a senior. They're not going to define it. They're going to wait to define it until they know how they want to write the later seasons.
Exactly. Exactly. Is he graduating? Is he not?
Has he been in school for more than 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into predictions.
Predictions.
Do it. Bring on that.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
All right. Ben, you go first.
Okay, so this is the one I was noticing this. So Nikki, she's going to get hooked on drugs, and she's going to become, like, not Jay's girl anymore, and she's going to become, like, part... She'll sort of attach herself to one of the guys. Maybe it's Craig. You know, she'll have something go down with one of the guys, and Jay is going to sort of, like, just detach and let it happen. It's going to be this weird thing later on where she's just, like, around the house as a drug addict who's sleeping with one of the other guys.
I could totally see that. Yeah,
because you can tell in her eyes, she's like, "Ooh, I kind of like this."
I kind of like this.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, yeah. You were the tame one. Okay, let me push the buttons even more."
She's
gonna
get in too deep for sure.
Yeah, she's probably gonna die. That's part of my prediction.
Yeah, she could OD. That wouldn't surprise me at
all.
Yeah,
yeah. She's just kind of the character that will last her one season and then bounce. Mine. Oh, dang, I have so many. I think predictions. There's a whole section here. I think that Finn is accidentally going to spill the beans on Darren, and then that's just going to come. I feel like it's going to ruin the family a little bit because they're such like macho guys. They're going to view him completely differently when they find out. So I think that's gonna add even more attention in the family. And then I want to. This isn't more of a prediction, but I just remembered it. I want to say that I think that guy's house that Baz randomly went into and delivered food to is probably his dad.
Yeah, that's
Did
what
you guys
I was
pick
thinking.
Up on that?
Yeah, it seems right. That wouldn't surprise
so
me.
So I don't know. I'd like to see it. I think maybe he finally will shoot him if he almost did. So
Yeah,
interesting.
That was definitely a moment. Yeah, that was weird.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, my prediction is I think somehow they're going to get caught up. I think the homeless people are going to be able to ID them. I think that was a major, major mistake. And I think that's going to come back to bite them. Same with the guy that they stole. I think it was the van.
Car.
Yeah, the car from. And I could totally see Nikki getting addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, she was eyeing that blow like...
She was...
In a lot of ways, it's too obvious of a prediction, but it's also like one of those things that would just play very well on a show like this.
Exactly.
It'd be easy for TV, and I think that they would totally do that.
She kind of already looks like a drug addict.
Yeah, they're kind of going in that direction.
They have her kind of, you know, frazzled, hair is kind of crazy, eyes always bloodshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's her character. All right, well, I think that wraps up this show. Where can people find you guys?
Guys, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I don't yet have a Snapchat, but eventually I'll start one.
Oh, gotta get on that. And hey, guys, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find me at In Less Than No Time.
And I'm Alina Vision. You can find me on all social media at Alina Vision. And we'd love to continue this conversation, so feel free to use the hashtag AfterBuzzTV. Animal Kingdom, and we will definitely be responding to your tweets. Also, leave comments below. Let us know what you thought of the show. And
yeah, totally.
That's
guys.
It. Do it. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.